grateful for this morning. We thank you for the work of your Spirit through your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that this morning we are all instructed, enlightened by your word. We ask that you will help us by your Spirit to see that the planned ministry assignment that you have given to us, the giving and receiving of discipleship. We ask that every heart this morning is nourished up in your word. Thoughts, opinions, worldviews, convictions submit to your word as it is properly taught. We ask that there is no error in the teaching. And as there's no error in the teaching, there's also no error in our understanding. But every mandate this morning is made to see Jesus as what is taught. And as we see him, we see ourselves as he sees us in him. We ask that this morning, questions are answered. Gray areas will have light shed upon them. Your name will be glorified and the whole church will be edified. This we ask and receive in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel is our text, Matthew 9. So I have a target. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, in verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Hallelujah. We said quite a number of things, and I'll just pick up from there this morning. We said, you know, he says they were fainted. Matthew said they were fainted. Now, obviously, I told you that it wasn't that the people were lying down energyless. Are we together? How do I put it? It wasn't that people were lying down without strength. But when he says they scattered about, it's an Old Testament language. I told you that all the writers and the teachers in the New Testament books are all teachers from the Old Testament. Are we together? There is none of the Bible teachers, or the teachers in the Bible, let me put it that way. There is none of the teachers in the Bible that became so creative in their world. Are we together? That they now begin to take their illustrations from their world. Now, there's not illustrations or lessons from your world, but it's understand that Bible teaching is very dogmatic. Let me explain what that means. Bible teaching is very rigid. Are we together? Bible teaching can be very rigid. Why? Because the scriptures themselves shows us what the will of God is. You cannot understand the will and the counsel of God outside the scriptures. The Bible has that authority. So, if you are going to teach God's counsel, amen, now, it's fine if what is maybe you want to encourage people to have money, okay? Maybe what you want to teach is how to be a to teach morals, okay? Sometimes we feel people need to hear how to be diligent in their life, in their career, students diligent in schoolworks, husbands being good husbands at home, wives being good wives at home, fathers, you know, treating their kids well, and all that, you know. Sometimes we feel that's what people need to hear. Now, that's okay if that's what you want to teach. But you see, the moment what you want to teach is God's counsel, are we together? You have to teach from the scriptures. So a preacher, for one reason or the other, might talk about finances, funds, money, wealth, and speak from somewhere else. Maybe he's not teaching God's word at that time. I mean, personally, I have periods where I'm probably one-on-one session of people, and I'm encouraging the fellow, why is your academics like that? Why is this like that? Okay, let's do this, let's do this. Someone walks up to me and says, oh, my business is not growing. I tried this. I say, okay, sit down. What do you do? What's your return? What kind of things do you do? How do you get your customers? Why not pick up this service? And I'm trying to guide the fellow to take a more effective decision in his money-making venture. Are we together? Now, that's fine. Because at that moment, I am not preaching the word. Is it clear? But you see, the moment you are out of the scriptures, the moment you are out to talk on behalf of God, must be speaking from the scriptures. So I showed us times without number, over and over again, that the Bible, the speakers, or the teachers in the Bible, we're all teachers from the Old Testament books. Why is that? Very simple. At the moments when they were teaching, or when they were preaching, many, if not all, of the New Testament books had not been written. For example, Paul did not teach the Corinthian church from the book of 1 Corinthians. I hope you know that. All right. So, Paul was not teaching from the book of Romans. Jesus was not teaching from the book of Matthew. Hope you know that. Are we together? The book had not been written. And, you know, it wasn't 2025 that maybe someone was had a phone with Twitter. So once you just say something, just tweet it. No. The books were not written until many years after those things were said and even played out. Are we together? So when the New Testament speakers or teachers, I mean in the Bible, in the New Testament books, the preachers and the teachers there, when they got to speak or to teach, they had a place of reference where they taught from. And that is the Old Testament books. Are we together? So you observe, like I said on Thursday evening, that the characters, the personalities that were mentioned by those people will always be found in the Old Testament books. Are we together? Jesus is teaching and is mentioning Moses. Now his audience was not wondering which Moses, because they knew the Moses he was talking about. Are we there? Jesus is teaching and he mentions Solomon. Matthew 6. He mentions Solomon. Jesus is teaching, and then he mentions Elias. He mentions Elisha, Elis. In John 3, he's talking to Nicodemus. And then he begins to mention Jonah. Are we there? Verse 14. It is, he mentions Moses rather. Moses. He mentions, in John 6, he mentions Jonah. In John 3, he mentions Moses. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Are we together? Now, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the audience were not wondering which Moses, which wilderness. They were wondering, is it the wilderness of Judea that is just by them, or a particular wilderness? They knew he was referring to the wilderness that God took Israel through upon the Exodus from Egypt. Are we together? So they knew. Again, you find them talking, Matthew will say, according to the prophecy of Isaiah, that it might be fulfilled. According to what was prophesied by Isaiah. And they knew which Isaiah was talking about. The same thing with Paul. Paul mentioned Moses. James mentions Elijah in James 5. Are we there? So, none of the audiences were in doubt or ignorant about where they all taught from. Everybody who taught, or who spoke, or who wrote from Matthew to Revelation were teaching the Old Testament books. And that is why no serious teaching of the Word of God today belittles the Old Testament books. Are we together? Those same materials, the 39 books of the Old Testament, are actually what we call the counsel of God today. I mean, for God's sake, Joshua in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law must not depart out of thy mouth. Or in Psalm 1, this book of the law, it says, I meditate therein day and night. The book of the law which David spoke about, the book of the Lord which Joshua was spoken to about, was definitely the books of Moses. Are we together? What was put together as a document of faith at that time. So look at this. No serious Bible study does away or will do away with the Old Testament books. We have to trust God's help and be diligent to go into those Old Testament books and see the counsel of God. An abandonment of the Old Testament books will create a gap. Are we together? Between what we say and the fruit of it in our lives. Because there won't be understanding. And that's just by the way. Praise God forevermore. So in Matthew 9, or just like a number of other places, when the Bible writer is talking, you're going to do well to bear in mind that the writer is speaking from the Old Testament book. Is it clear? So many times you might not understand the full force, the main point of what is being said if you don't pay attention to the Old Testament books. The Old Testament books offers the context of understanding. Are we together? So when you read it, you are learned in it, you understand it, you can now come into the New Testament books. When the speakers are talking, you will know what they are talking about. There will not be disconnect. Many times we suffer so much disconnect. So what is being said, we don't understand the import. So for example, when he says they were wearied and scattered abroad. Are we together? In the course of our study, we saw that that was actually the state of Israel before Moses came to rescue them. Now, in Exodus, in the book of Exodus, the state of Israel was described as in idol captivity. Worship. Now, I've taught this over 1,000 times in church, so I'll just gloss over it. Israel was in bondage, idol worship. So that state of being in bondage, that state of being under an influence which is not of God, is called weary and scattered abroad. Are we together? That state of being influenced strongly by that which is not of God, that state is described as being what? Weary. So he's not referring to a physical state where you have hypoglycemia. That is, there is less glucose. That means your body doesn't have energy. No, that's not what he's talking about. They were weary and scattered abroad, refer to their spiritual state. Praise God. That is why the next thing we saw, he says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. That's M 36. He says, they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So God's solution to weariness, are you listening to me this morning? God's solution to spiritual weariness is the ministry of a shepherd. That's it. They were scattered abroad. Let's look at some text again. And Numbers 27, everyone. Numbers 27. Now, by now, you should be able to quote this text off and down. Are we together? Praise God. Numbers 27. And then verse 17. Numbers 27. Are you there? All right. Let's read from verse 15. I want us all to read together. I want to go. Moses said unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of all the flesh of the earth, send a man over the congregation, 17 everyone, which may go out before them, okay, that the congregation of the Lord be not as what? Which have no what?
Shepherd.
Can we take 17 again? Want to go? Which may go out before them, which may bring in, okay, vision, okay, okay, without shepherd. Are we together? That the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. That we said earlier, that sheep without shepherd is not God's plan. Are we there? Now, when it says sheep, because the congregation of the Lord, sheep, that's illustrative. It doesn't mean we are bleating animals. Praise God. That's just illustrative. So he says that's not God's plan. 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22. So that is not God's plan. Tell your neighbor, say, that's not God's plan. What is not God's plan? Sheep without what? Shepherd. Now, look at this. Moses said, God will set a man. Praise God. Moses said, God will set a man. And God is there. Are we together? Now, God is there, yet he says, he will set a man. And God is there. So, God is there, and that is not enough. Are we together? Look at 1 Kings 22. Are you there? Okay, let's read 17 together. 1 Kings 22. Can we take 17 together? Everyone wants to go. And he said, I saw all Israel. Let's take it a little bit slowly. Now you're very fast this morning. Yeah, I understand. High spirit. Amen. So let's take it a little bit slowly. Want to go? And he said, I saw all Israel, huh? Okay. Okay. Now we take it one more time. Now look at that again. The same thing is playing out here. Are we together? The same thing is playing out here. God is on the scene. Are we together? Are we together? God is on the scene. Yet he says, I will not relate with these people because there is no shepherd. So that means the way God works. Are we together? That means there is a what? There is a way God works on the earth. And he does his things through men. We're looking at discipleship. So what God has for me in his plans, he makes available to me through men. And what he has for others, he makes available to them through me. And that's how it works. And I know God is in you. And I know his spirit is in you. But the thing that his spirit in you has for you, he brings to you through another man. Just like what he has for another, he reaches them through you. And that is the way God works. That's why one of the things we've seen in this study is that one of the signs of spiritual development is that one of the signs of spiritual growth, one of the signs that you are knowing the Lord, that you are growing in the Lord, is that you will be strong relationships with the people of God. You cannot be growing spiritually and despise other people. No. How you walk with other Christians, how you walk, how you fellowship with other believers is a sign that you're growing. Because God walks amongst men and He does His work with men. Are we together, church? So, now, the writer of Matthew is speaking text like this. I know we saw the Psalm 23 text, right? In Psalm 23, we saw that the Lord Himself is the shepherd, isn't it? If Jesus, if God is the shepherd, God is described in the scriptures as a shepherd. So if God is a shepherd, that means the man through whom God will walk will only function in His stead. So God brings you a man who functions in His office to you. And that is the basics of Christian discipleship. Are we together? That is the basics of discipleship. Discipleship is that I begin to receive God's word, I begin to receive God's help through the man or the men that He has sent to me. It means I must call the chase. I cannot grow on my own. I can't grow on my own. I cannot develop spiritually on my own. In fact, come to think of it, you did not get born again on your own. Something as simple as having faith in the gospel. Something as simple, well, maybe you could say simple, but it's also serious. But something as easy, if it's easy, as hearing the message and believing the gospel came to you. I said hallelujah. So, I do not grow on my own. I cannot grow spiritually on my own. It is not that, I'm not saying you are unable to. I'm not saying you have a defect. I'm saying that is not God's plan. That is not how spiritual growth happens. So Jesus, in Matthew 28, He says, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. And make disciples. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So look at this. Men will minister to you what God has for you. Men like you. Men who has two eyes like you. They don't have 3 ears just like you, they have 2 ears. They don't have a tail. They don't have 2 Holy Ghosts. But they have the grace of God upon their lives. Are we together? Are we together? So in Matthew 9 again, from that text, the laborers are few, the harvest is plenteous. So we said, the work of God, the assignment of God for every Christian is to be a discipler, even as you are being discipled. The Christian work, the Christian ministry is described as discipleship. That is the Christian. The Christian responsibility is to take, are we together? To take up the responsibility and see to it that others know Jesus, are fed with his word, even as you are also feeding on the word. Now, if you are joining this series for the first time, you have to create that latitude in your heart. We've had close to 15, 20 sessions of the same teaching. So I'm picking up from there. Are we together? So, discipleship is that art of taking responsibility. I was talking to someone on Friday. I said, I think that was at the Newland Polytechnic, right? Right? I was with you at Newland Polytechnic. Who happens to be the head of their other? I had to meet with them. And then, and one of the things I was discussing with him, I said that one of the reasons why our communities are not changed and transformed as they ought to is because God's word or God's work is not really being done as it should be done. Now, God cannot be mocked. If you act on his word, you will see his results. Are we together? So when I said that, he winked at me, you know, which kind of demonstrated he wanted me to explain. So I said, for example, I know there are a lot of people who go out there to get people saved, preach the gospel. Oh, Christ died and rose from the dead. Believe the gospel, be saved. He's forgiven you all your sins. He's the Son of God and all the realities in the gospel. Now, people go out and they preach the gospel. But I don't talk. I mean, we were having a conversation. So it wasn't like I was teaching him. It was a conversation. So, the conversation, I said, the reason why our communities are not properly changed by the gospel is because there is a whole lot of touch and go. Where you just get him born again, and then you have no plans to see him after that moment again. It doesn't change the society. That is not Jesus' instruction. Jesus didn't say, just go get people saved and leave them. He says to go and make disciples. Are we together? Now, many times, we may have difficulties, challenges, oppositions in the path of acting out God's word. But see, we allow oppositions, difficulties, and challenges to dictate the depth that we go in obeying God, we will not have God's results. Is that, you see, we must be weary of using entertainment as bait to gather people. Let me tell you the truth. The people of God know what they need, and it is not entertainment. Young people know what they need. It's not entertainment. People need to be fed the word of God. People need to be taught the word of God. People have questions that can only be answered in God's word. People have identity issues. Are we together? Identity issues. A typical young fellow in 2025 is struggling with the understanding of who he or she is. They don't know who they are. A young man does not know who he is. That's why cultism, are we together? Fraudsterism, gangsterism, substance abuse. That is why is him or her. The way you observe that you are struggling with something that you know in your heart is not the ideal. There's an identity issue somewhere. It is locked up in your not understanding who you are. And the identity question is answered in the word of God. Without the word of God, man is lost. Man does not know who he is. Man does not even know God without the word. Less of why he is created. Some don't even agree that they are God's creation. Let's start from there. Are we together? Are we together? When someone does not agree that it's God's creation, He believes that he's a product of chance. I think Satan has chanced you. Are we together? Product of chance. It's lack of identity, or problem of identity issue, or having that makes a man say, I don't want to be called a him. I want you to start calling me a ha. With mustache. Then you address me as a she. Are we together? Address me as a she. That's lack of identity. See, let me tell you something. The male gender has a place in God's plan. Is it clear? Is it clear? The male what? The male what? Gender. The male gender has a place in God's plan. Woman. The woman has a place in God's plan. And you can't understand your place if you don't know God. And why He created. Identity. Some even go worse than that. They said, I want to start identifying as a cat. Yet you are eating human beings' food. Feeding you. Then when you are ill, you don't go to the hospital. We take you to the vet. Yes. We take you to the vet. We take you to the vet. Are we together? Identity issues. Praise God forevermore. Without the word of God, man is lost. Man is lost. Man does not know his God. Man does not know who he is. Man does not know why he is created. See, that issue of why am I on the earth, as long as that gap remains, Satan can lure him to do just anything. There is a default in God's word to see who we are. See, a fundamental teaching in God's word is that man was created for the pleasure of God. God created the heavens to serve the earth. Are we together? The sun, the moon, the stars serves all that God has put on the earth. God created the earth to serve man. And God created man to serve himself. That's God. Anything that works on your understanding to shift that order will affect you negatively. That the reason for the heavens is the earth. It was EWKN that said that. That the reason for the heaven is the earth. The reason for the clouds, the mist, is to put water on what God has put on the earth. The reason for the sun, the stars, the moon, is for times and seasons. They control seasons. Amatan, are we together? Rain, are we together? Dry season, is it clear? Which everything on the earth needs. So the reason for the heavens is the earth. The reason for the earth is the man that God has put on the earth. And the reason for man is what? Are we together? We are here to serve him. The way to God forevermore. So Christ comes, Jesus comes, and restores God's order to the earth. And upon that, he then says, and make disciples. That means today in 2025, one of the ways you walk in orderliness to God's plan is detailedly involved in discipleship. The giving of it, the receiving of it. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? Amidst other things, that is the principal way
of walking in God's order today. And we said a number of things about discipleship. So we said discipleship definitely comes from having the saints of God. If you look at Jesus' mission again, in John 10, he says, don't forget that text, he says, I have other sheep, right? Which are what? Which are not in this what? In this fold. Then it says, them must I what? Bring in. So that there will be what? Can I get a response? One sheepfold and one what? One shepherd. So, discipleship is by having saints in the church. I've said a whole lot of things already. But we'll get there. Discipleship. Discipleship does not happen in isolation. You cannot be properly discipled in isolation. See, the very fact that Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples. Make disciples. If you understand the import of that word, disciples, the very first thing that occurs to you will be community. Community. Because disciples exist in communities. Jesus was not the one who initiated the word disciples. No. He rather used a word that his world was used to explain what is now his own. Just like when he says, upon this rock I will build what? My church. Verse 18. And upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus was not the one who instituted the word church, ecclesia. The word church was already known to refer to an assembly of a governing body, a set of people who are responsible for a mission. Are we together? Or administration. So that is why when he said, I will build, he says, my own church. So when he says, upon this rock I will build my church, the disciples immediately understood that he is going to have his own people who are responsible for his own mission. Are we together? On the earth. That is the word church. That is why no one person is called church. Today you ask a Christian, he says, why didn't you come to church? He says, the Bible says, I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. One person is no temple. Are we together? The temple of the Holy Ghost is not one person, it's a people. Paul says, know you not that what? You are the temple, isn't it? Of the Holy Ghost. Now, did you observe that letter was not written to an individual? The letter was written to what? A church. Are you following me? Now, look at this. If a letter is written to a people, the use of you to be individual or collective. Thank you. Very simple English. Thank you very much. Response. So, know you not that you are the temple? A particular brother in the church or the guy? Huh? So, what is the temple of the Holy Ghost? A single brother somewhere, or the gathering of saints? Thank you. Thank you. Know you not that you are the temple? Now, don't forget Old Testament. So, it's coming from an understanding of the temple being a place of worship of a supernatural being, and the activities of that supernatural being can be received or ministered. That's the Old Testament word for temple, a place where a supernatural being is worshipped, and we can see his interventions. So that is why in the same text, 1 Corinthians 3, by the time we get to chapter 12, he now began to talk about the manifestation of the Spirit for the profit of what? Of all. Are we together? It says, for the manifestation of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:7, is given to every man profit without the profit of all. Why? Because in the temple, we both worship God and we also receive from him. So, the manifestations of the Spirit is how we receive his intervention. So, he mentions them. He says, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. It says prophecies, which in chapter 14, it says builds the church, encourages the church, and comforts the church. Then it goes into talking about the workings of miracles. The gifts of healing. Are we together? The gifts of healing. Then he mentions the gift of faith. Are we together? The gift of faith. Talking about God's tensions amongst us. Why? Because anytime we are gathered together, we are his worship place, the temple. So that statement, know you know you are the temple of God, is not referring to an individual as much, are we together, as it's talking about the saints when they come together. Where two or three people are in my name, there they are my temple. Are we together? Two or three. There I am. So the concept of temple must leave our perception of an individual person and we'll begin to see our coming together. Ezekiel Church. Ezekiel Church. Ezekiel Church. Ezekiel Church. Simple. You cannot be discipled in isolation. Discipleship happens in a community of saints. It doesn't happen in your room. That is why no letter of the scriptures, no letter of the apostles was directed to any Christian in their room. Thank God we have a copy of the Bible today and we can read. Are we together? But it does not remove the practice. The practice that you have found amongst the saints. I say glory to God forevermore. In the book of Acts, you observe. The book of Acts was a book written to show us. Now, if Jesus leaves them, or about to leave them, and while he was about to leave them, he says, go into all the world and make disciples. Right? You find that at the end point of Matthew. You find that at the end point of Luke, Mark, and John also. Go and make disciples. Now, the next thing they began to do is now recorded in the book of Acts. It shows you, when I read the book of Acts, that is how I will understand what Jesus meant by go and make what? Disciples. So the book of Acts documents how the instruction was carried out by those who met him, those he trained personally. Are we together? If you will do what he says to do today, you will have to focus on how those who saw him did it. So by the time we look into the book of Acts, you observe that book can be synonymously titled the book of gatherings. Everything that happened was in gatherings. It either happened through gatherings or it led towards gathering. Acts 1, 14, gathering. Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one accord in one place, gathering. Are we together? Later on, after Peter had preached from verse 16 down to verse 38, and then the crowd cried and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then he said, repent, and shall be baptized for the gift unto you and your children, even as many as the Lord shall call. Bible says, and then 3,000 were saved. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, in fellowship, gathering. And when they healed the man at the beauty, they were going to gather. It was a time of prayer. Are we together? So they were going to a gathering. Acts 3. By Acts 4, when they were trekking, around verse 28, they came together and prayed from Psalms. Then the Bible said the place was what? Shaking together. It shook because the person that was praying was not what? Alone. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Acts 5, the same thing. There were gatherings. By the time you look at verse 14 to 18, it says the Lord added to the church. The Lord added to the Lord. Daily I should be saved. Are we together? By Acts 6, there were murmurings among. Then they came, they said, look here among you, select men, but who it's not good that we should leave the world and serve tables. We will give ourselves continually unto what? Prayer and ministry of the world. Then they say, the same place, all the multitude. Then they found seven. Then they lay hands on them. Bible says, and the word of God increased. Are we together? Gathering again in Acts 6. Are we together? From there into Acts 7. From the gatherings, we now see how Philip, Stephen was now picked. Are we together? Stephen, and then he went to defend the gospel in front of leaders. They persecuted him, killed him. The gathering came back and picked him up again. The saints came in Acts 8 again, gathering. Philip then leaves Jerusalem, goes to Samaria, and the whole city received the word, so that the apostles Peter and John now came and started ministering to them, gathering. Then Simon the sorcerer saw in the gatherings that by laying of hands, the power of the Holy Ghost was given. Are we together? Acts 8 again, gathering. Are we together? What about Acts 9? In Acts, Paul was looking to put them in jail. In Acts 10, we see an instruction comes to Peter to go and meet a gathering, Cornelius in his house. And himself went with a gathering, certain men. Are we together? With him. It was those men that by Acts 10:46, he says, while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that had the word. He says, and they were astonished, as many as were circumcised that came with him, for they saw that the Gentiles had been given the Holy Ghost for the spoken tongue. So a gathering left with him, then they went to a gathering. Acts 11, again, a gathering. In 26, it was in verse 26 that they called them first what? Christians. Because they met in Antioch and taught for a whole year, and they were first called what? Are we together? The same thing in Acts 12. In Acts 12 again, you see gathering. It was in Acts 12 that Jesus was arrested after James had been killed, and he was by Herod, and then he was miraculously delivered, and then the moment he left, he went to the house where and what? Praying, gathering. Acts 13 verse 1, it says in Antioch certain prophets and teachers gathered. He mentioned their name, including Saul and Barnabas. It says, while they ministered the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost what? Said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. Are we together? For the work which I have what? Called them. Acts 13. Acts 14 was gathering, because by Acts 14 we now started seeing how Paul was. Acts 15 the same thing. Acts 15. Are we together? It was at Macedonia rather. Acts 17 was at Berea. Acts 18 was how the church at Corinth was planted. Acts 19, a gathering. And Acts 20, gathering. Are we together? Ephesus. Are we together? So the entire book of Acts, which was written to show us that these guys heeded to Jesus' instructions, was a book filled with gatherings. You cannot be a Christian today and despise gatherings. No. The plans and the purposes of God is fulfilled in gatherings. God sent Moses to gatherings. Are we together, church? Are we together? So if you don't live here with anything today, you live with that. That the plan of God for your life is fulfilled in the gatherings. What we call the body of Christ. Is it clear? The body of Christ. One person is not body of Christ now. Hallelujah. The gifts of God in you is needed in the gathering. Then there are gifts in the gathering that will serve you. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? Look at Ephesians 4, everyone. Ephesians 4. All the letters, Romans, Ephesians, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, Jude, Revelation, the seven churches, gathering. See, Jesus' attention is on gathering. You will just stay in your room and nothing will happen. You'll be doing shabra, I need to be dry. Are we together? Because the gatherings strengthen you for the private moment. And if you use the private moments well, it will make you effective in the what? In the gathering. That's how God functions. Don't let anyone teach you otherwise. God walks through gatherings. It is where two or three are gathered, there I am. Where two or three people are gathered in my name, obviously. Don't forget that clause, in my name. It is their help. In the midst of them. Glory to God. I will show you that word midst later on. Maybe during our camp meeting. by February. I'll show you. The mist, it brings in the word from the garden. The tree of life in the mist, it brings it back. Are we together? It brings it back in the midst of them, in the midst of the garden, to show you that Christian meetings is a foretaste, are we together, of Eden. Christian meetings. That's why Paul was rebuking the churches. He says, how can people be amongst you and some are dying and some are weak and some are this? He says, no, it ought not to be. Because the garden of God's people is God's dwelling place. That is the garden of Eden. The truth of the garden of Eden in Christian meetings. He says, why are your meetings like this? You are all in the flesh. You cannot eat. No. People ought to be strengthened amongst you. 1 Corinthians 14. It says in 26. How be they? He says, brethren, when you come together, and then every one of you has a what? He says, has a psalm, has a revelation. In a Christian meeting, all that I need is what? Is there. The weak become strengthened. The afflicted become delivered. When we come together, don't forget, the temple is a place of what? Worship, right? It's also a place to receive what? Intervention. So God intervenes in Christian meetings. So when you come wearied in your Christian walk, by the time you are walking out of the church venue after service, you are what? You are fired up. That's why we don't give entertainment here. No. We don't entertain people here. We give you fire. The word. We help you to wash your eyes. So what you are not seeing clearly before you what? You see. You see God's plan. You see it. You see yourself. Maybe the perception that you have had about yourself is the perception of I am star. Or who are those uselessly living folks again? Huh? Burning. Are we together? See, I born. Will help you to see. You see God's plan. You see. This is what God wants me to do. This is where He wants me. How I should go about it. You are strengthened. Do God's plan. So walk in His plan. His will for your life. No struggles. You are free. Ezekiel Church. That's what the church is for. You come to be fired up. Not to be entertained. If you want to be entertained, you go to the mall. Are we together? You go to the mall. You go to in Ibadan. Are you one of the latest places in Ibadan then? Places like that. You go to the mall. You go to the mall. I don't know much of them though. But you go to the mall. You go to game sport. You play table tennis. I still have a match this week with somebody. I can't open a game this year. You play tennis. You play that. You were entertained. Then you take a bottle of Coke, of course. Not stout. Are we together? That's if you want to be entertained. You go to the... Where do they go? Movies, right? Cinema, right? You go to the cinema because you want to be what? Entertained. But see, the moment you say... It's time for church. It's a different ball game. Fired up. You are going to know the Lord. You are going to love the Lord. You are going so you can serve the Lord. That is what church is for. Ezekiel Church. I don't know. Ephesians 4. Quickly. Ephesians 4. So, look at verse 10. He that ascended is also
He said also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. That's the word fulfill there. And he gave some what? Apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some what? Pastors and teachers. 12. For the perfecting of the saints. For the what? Work of the ministry. Edifying of the body. Now I told you already to be careful of the punctuation. The originals had no punctuation, obviously. But the punctuation here makes you to think he's talking about 3 points. And I told you that you will see what he's saying there carefully when you take away the commas. In verse 12. Let's read verse 12 without the commas. Now, if you don't have a Bible, are we together? So let's do it together. One to go. Let's take 12 again. One to go. Let's take it again. So does this sound like for the perfection of the saints? Does this sound that way? If you take away the comma, read it again. So, I think here some of you are still pausing. It's fine. So far you get it. So, does it look like 3 things or a single thing? Huh? So, the first one is because of what? The other, right? Or the first one, the second one is the fruit of the first. The third is the fruit of what? Of the second clause. Let's read it again one more time. So let me ask you a question. Who carries out the work of the ministry? Read 11 again. Everybody wants to go? You want to go? Want to go? Take it one more time. Verse 12. So does this? So when we, who does the work of a ministry? Is it the verse 11 or the saints? Is it the verse 11 that is doing the work of the ministry or the saints? The saints. So for the perfecting of the saints, for now that word perfecting, it means to something and make it fit. So he says the verse is given by Jesus to make saints fit for the work of the ministry, which is the building. That's the word they define of what? Of the body of Christ. So how many Christians are called to the ministry? Huh? How many? Answer it. How many? All. Are we together? All the saints are called into the work of Christ's ministry. That is why you observe, if you observe very well, that again, there was this drive to capacity. Because Christ the servant lives in your heart. He's there. You know it when you're not praying as you should. There's a drive to pray. When you need help in your prayer life, you know it. There's a drive to pray. And prayer is ministry. We serve God through prayers. There's a drive to preach. A healthy Christian wants to join evangelism. A healthy Christian wants to spread the good news of Jesus in his community, in his locality, amongst your friends. A healthy Christian wants to live exemplary life. Now I know the folks, the fellow might be struggling in one area. Oh, I'm trying to overcome this. I'm trying to overcome this. Oh, I've done it again. I've done. Why is that feeling of, oh, I've done it again. Oh, I've done. There's an inward cry to do the right thing. That is the indwelling. He wants to pray. When we say, oh, something is needed in church, or we need something to move the kingdom of God forward, so that we can reach out to people in a particular part of the city, we don't have much. He wants to give. He wants to support. He wants to strengthen. That is the ministry. Every Christian, I want to say genuine born again. There's no fake born again. Every child of God is declared. He was dead. Because Christ lives within. Say, Christ lives within. That's it. He lives within. So you are in the ministry. That ministry is what we're explaining as discipleship. To make it available to others, even as you are receiving. So the saints are called to the ministry. The saints. The saints. The believers. So we said, discipleship, which is upon salvation, comes from having the saints in the church. The church is the ground of discipleship. What happens in discipleship? You have taught the word. Life is kept. God surrounds you with godly company. They help you to learn the word where you should. They explain the word of God to you. They explain the word of God to you. They help you to get involved in what God is doing on the earth. In the church. Glory to God. That's why you must have people in the service. Are we together? Have people in the services. In 2024, where is it in the Bible that people should meet on Sunday? There is no problem. If you like, have your own meeting Friday at 1 p.m. Is it clear? Is it clear? But look at this. In 2024, or 2025 rather, in 2025, we all know in our world, Sunday is commonly agreed by people in fellowship, in their respective assemblies, to fellowship one another and to minister to the Lord and to receive the things of God into their life. It means that a healthy Christian on Sunday morning should be found in the church. Praise God. Should be found in the company of God. So that's why the mornings, your disciples should not be at home. We're not going to tell you, if you don't go to church, Satan will catch you. If you don't go to church, you'll ruin. No. That is fear tactics. You don't need fear tactics to serve God. His spirit is in your heart. On Sunday morning, is it clear? The best place to be is where? In the church. The best gathering to be at every time where God's people, that's where to be. Are we together? That's where to be. Being on Sunday, then in our church we meet on Sunday evening. Be there. 2 hours, 30 minutes, 3 hours. Be there in the whole week. Are we together? Are we together? That's discipleship. God's word. To pray with the saints. To go and those that we reach out to, we take responsibility. Declare church. Hallelujah. So look at this. I put this in my note. I said, you can never obey God in your life when you have not taken the first step of being in services regularly. Yes, you can't. You can't obey God effectively in your life. Sometimes we have challenges, but we don't know where the solutions are.
Then we're busy trying to resolve that challenge. Some of those challenges are easily taken off by hidden simple instructions. Be in church service regularly. Be there. The answer to your prayer life is in the prayer meeting. Oh, you don't know. You don't know. The reason why you struggle with prayer, some of you even struggle with tongues. When you are alone, you are like, this child see. Prayer meeting. The prayer meeting strengthens your what? Your prayer life. See, your prayer life is not what strengthens the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting strengthens your personal prayer life. First of all, how you know what to pray about in your privacy is when you come into the meeting. Or else, you will have a selfish and a problem-driven prayer life. But when we are in the church prayer meeting, where we focus on the counsel of God, you will see where your own personal prayer comes in. Because you are now going to have a purpose-driven prayer. Watch those who don't attend prayer meetings of churches and they claim to pray. Go and listen to the content of their prayer. Problem or the other. Selfish things. Things about you. That's not a strong prayer life. Are we? Say I'm in the prayer meetings. Say meeting. Evangelism. Be there. Be there in evangelistic meetings. Be in the teaching meetings. So that when you are alone studying your Bible personally, the text will now be clear. You will not be having personal evil revelation. So then he leaves. Who told you that's what the text is saying? Read the previous text. The one before. Read the one before. Oh yeah, read that one. Oh yeah, read the one after. Do you get it now? Oh, I get it. If you were in teaching service, the text will be clear to you. You know, people say, this is my personal revelation. Personal revelation, and you are not praying. Personal revelation, and you are not strong in your Christian work. Any small dream like this, at 2 a.m., you are calling pastor. Pastor will not sleep again because you cannot sleep. Pastor cannot sleep. If pastor does not pick your call, by the time you return your call around 7:30 a.m., 8 a.m., I saw your call at 2 a.m. He said, yeah, where are you going? You're on bike. Yeah, I'm going to meet one prophet in the morning. Kilo day. You did not pick my call. You are not a strong Christian. You sit down and say, just drop your Bible, drop everything. What else do you want, sir? Your Bible or your life? Take my Bible, I'll buy another one. Christian. Any small challenge in your life like see in church again, you are not a strong Christian. Are we together? Strength is in the gathering. So the meetings, the church, the gathering among the saints is God's wisdom for you walking in His plans and purposes. It's so clear. That is why in the book of Acts, the moment somebody gets saved like this, church. The moment he's saved, join the church. The moment join the church, attend the meetings, and be committed there. The church is supernatural called. Some things don't touch you when you belong to a company. It doesn't touch you. Some things don't tempt you. Some things don't tempt you. Some things don't touch you. Some evils don't come around you. It is the truth.
Because you are not alone. Are we together? Walk. Those who hunt in the forest knows that when you want an animal, be ready to wait till it has kept much distance from the fold. Then that one, you hit it down. Because sometimes when you hit the animal, the rest can be moved with zeal towards the animal. And they gather around it. If they see an intruder, they take you on. But when it's far away, you can quickly pick it with it. Wolves prey on animals that way. Wolves. To observe that one of the signs that your Christian life is becoming weak is that you are distancing yourself. I tell you, brother, that is not the time to distance yourself. What? Why are you not going to the clinic? Because I'm ill. But that's the time to go. That's the time to go. Time to go. And see, Satan knows these things. Because Satan has been around. He has been around for centuries. Millennia. Are we together? Satan has been around. So look at this. He makes you to see. He is behind the spreading of news of a whole lot of debris around the churches. He uses the social media. He uses every available media to get the news out of what is wrong with the church. The church, what is bad with the church, what is evil with the people of the church. They'll say, oh, I'm not going to church again because the church is full of hypocrites. And you are not one. Hello. The church is full of hypocrites like you. The church is not an assembly of perfect people. Are we together? Though we have God's spirit and God's word, and we are moving towards what? Perfection. Are we together? Paul says to Timothy, he said, be thou an example. He says, let no man despise your youth. Listen to them. When they say, energy, that's why you're going to church. Don't let people despise your youth. When people say things like, I can see that you have time, you have energy, you are zealous, so you, are we together? Are you listening to me? You. Take somebody who is not as effective as you to criticize your effectiveness. So when someone says you are praying too much, it shows that they don't have a serious prayer life. They don't. So Satan will put out the whole news there to turn people's mind away from the churches. Don't say, I can't attend that church. They are hypocrites. You are also one. There's no perfect church. It's a clear church. It's a clear church. And let me tell you, it's great blessedness when you recognize this fact that there's no perfect church, but that we have God's word and God's spirit, and that through fellowship with one another will get better in the things of God. It's blessedness. Because look at this. Even perfect church, the church becomes imperfect the moment you join it. What? Perfect? The moment you join it, that church becomes imperfect. So can we take away our eyes, our gaze from the imperfection and focus on the perfect work that God is doing in us, and then we become better? Can we? And then we get better? Can we? Can we focus on the word of God? Acting on the word, praying the word, living by the word, allowing it to affect us. Can we focus on prayer? Being prayerful. Can we focus on fasting? Are we together? Fasting. Fasting is a training of discipline. Are we together? Can we focus on fasting? Can we focus on reading the Bible? Can we focus on evangelizing our world? Yes. That is how God's work moves forward. It's a clear church. So if I get somebody saved, or I have a friend and I want them to know the Lord, what do? I bring them where? Into the church. God is still in the church. About the church. The church. Complain all you want to complain about it. The one that left, God did not leave the church. So say, hey, church, not God. Ah, but God is in the church. Are we together? You left God. Is it clear? Say the Lord is with us. His word stands sure. Whatever happens, if they can be up to two or three, and they will gather again in my name, I am what? I'm back there. He is more faithful than you are. Is it clear? We can bank on his faithfulness. He is there. Forget all the problems. I have left you. Yes, you are still talking to us amongst us. It's okay. Are we together? Like it's ever in you are. I think that was before. I think that was in my 200 or 300 level. That was in 2012. And then we're having this revival. And then one of those guys that were prophesying, he just came amongst us. He said, you just had prophesying Yoruba. Hey, you're my light, Goro. What did you ever watch your Kotomo? We said the Holy Ghost too does not wear skirts. Catch Holy Ghost too does not wear skirts. Are we together? I'm prophesying to these quarrels. So say, hey, I have left you. In the meeting. At least let's finish the meeting. Cross the road to the other side and prophesy to us. The church. Is it clear? The church is a fortress. The church is a covering. The church is a company. The church is a ground and the pillar of the truth. God walks from there. You can't survive. No. Say to your neighbor, God. I begin to close this morning. I will learn you something, church. So look at this. The moment I get someone saved, practical discipleship. The next thing after salvation is to have the fellow word in the church. See. It, nature teaches us that in an ideal setting, a child is brought into a family. A child is not supposed to be born until there's a father and there's what? There's a mother. Are we together? So God deliberately, in his wisdom, puts what child in. What makes a human being? You can't bring another human being into the earth without the involvement of two people on a normal condition. I'm a scientist. Are we together? So I know about what's happening of these things in the world today. Are we there? But you see, the truth of God, the will of God, is that you will have a man and a woman will then bring another human being into the world. Are we together? So, in an ideal state, a newborn is brought into a community. So, salvation mirrors the same thing. That the moment somebody is saved, that person is brought into what? A family. A community. The nurture is there. Is it clear? Nurture is there. So, the moment someone is born again, thing I need to do is to what? Is to bring them into the church. Jesus says that they will find what? Pasture. Are we together? That they will find pasture. That they will be fed. So I can never obey God in my life when I've not taken the first step of being in service regularly. Why? Because being in church service, I put down in my notes, is a foundational instruction. A foundational instruction is an instruction that you can now do other things according to what is asked because you have done that one. It's an obedience that makes other obedience what? Possible. Is it clear, church? Such is being in church. I'll establish today's service on that. Serve God outside of simple. No. What? Tell me the service. Tell me the serving God. Remove it from church. No. Whatever you try to call serving God that you take away from, you don't need the Holy Spirit for it. Think through that. You didn't need the Holy Spirit. The world does philanthropy. They go after the poor. You can arrange motherless baby's child. You can do all that. You can do all this. You can do philanthropy. You can spend food for that. But the moment it is the ministry of the Spirit, is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? So it doesn't matter. The havoc of the enemy trying to cause the havoc around the church. The church is God's wisdom. You cannot serve God outside the church. You cannot. So if I want to serve God, I have to embrace His wisdom. Embrace His plan. I will be found in a local church. And we attend the meetings of the church. Now, attending services gives you insight and knowledge. But look at this. Being in the church as a functional part is how you apply God's truth in your life and you fulfill His plan. Everything we call members, is so called because it's functioning. You are not a member of a church where you do not function. Your heart is a member of your body because it receives from your body, but not just that, it actually also sees for your body. Your ears is not called a member because it receives nutrition and is as fresh as the other part of your body. I mean, if something happens to the blood flow to your ears, it turns white. It turns gray. It dries off. So your ears is receiving nutrition from your body, but that is not why it is called member. It is called a member because it is also serving. It hears into the body. Your mouth, your tongue is a member because it takes things into the body. So the body also depends on it. God wants His church to depend on it. One of the brilliant desires of a parent is that as a child grows, we can now rely on the child. Everybody is worried when you can't rely on the child. Either deliberately as an act of his, or the child is ill or sick. Are we together? In fact, one of the joy in childbirth is that we have another one that after a while we can flourish through. God wants to flourish through you. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? He wants to teach others. He wants to raise more people. Maybe God is trying to reach your campus. Maybe He's trying to reach your class through you. Maybe He's trying to reach your neighborhood through you, your hostel, your place of work. Maybe He's trying to get into a sphere of influence that you're privileged to have access and influence over. And that happens as we embrace the church. Two in discipleship is the local assembly. Is it clear, church? It is in the services that you are fed. Acts 20:28, I'll talk about that on Sunday. Acts 20:28 and 29, I know we visited this very text about 10, 20 times. I'll go by it again with you. John 21, verse 15 to 17 also. Feeding means to nurture and to provide spiritual direction and leadership. It is in services that you are fed. It is in services that you are taught how to feed on the world. Is it clear, church? So look at this. God's plan is that you will not exist without a shepherd. He does not want you to exist without a shepherd. So as we go about discipleship work, God wants us to see ourselves as the shepherd of the sheep. Right there where you are. Now, who can shepherd? Somebody that has direction. Who can shepherd? Leave for me close. Somebody that have nutrition. Who can shepherd? Don't say, I don't know what to say during evangelism. Do you remember what was said to you? Yes. Say that. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? I don't know what to say during outreach. Do you remember what was said to you? Yes. Say that. Glory to God forevermore. So who can shepherd, church? Somebody who has some direction. Thank you. You said foresight. Thank you. Foresight in God's word. Thank you. Who can shepherd? Somebody who is learning the word. Praise the Lord forevermore. Who can shepherd? Somebody who an example. Somebody who can be an example can shepherd. Is it clear? So, let me ask you here this morning. Have you something in God's word? You know something. Can I see your hand? Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Don't be too big to do that. Let me see your hand. You know something in God's word. Something. I don't know. You can tell someone God loves you. Can I see your hand? Let's put it down. How many of you love to be an example of a Christian to others? Can I see your hand? Thank you. Look at me. Is it clear, church? You have what it takes to what? To decide. So I bring you a call this morning. Embrace discipleship. Is it clear, church? Embrace it. Embrace what? Discipleship. Start by being in church regularly. Start by being in services, be in the cell meetings, be in the prayer meetings, be in the Sunday meetings, be in the Thursday meetings. Absolute and purposes for our lives. God wants us to embrace it. Yes, eventually you will minister it, but it starts from what? Receiving. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? God's plans for our lives is to be examples, to represent Him in our world. And the grace of God is upon our lives. Are we together? Are we together? Make this commitment right now that in 2025, you will attend to discipleship differently. See, that is the only way our communities can be changed. Discipleship means to mold. It means to teach and reteach, to train and retrain. A product is always in view. Nobody gets into the medical school without the focus of coming out as a doctor. You don't get into a fashion school without having it in mind that I want. Something might happen along the way, you might change your mind, but the focus of entry is because the end point is in view. A seamstress or a tailor. Are we together? Someone goes into the nursing school. It's because the nursing career is at the edge of it. So discipleship is with the product in view. So Christian discipleship produces Christian ministers. Men and women who will minister the plans and purposes of God in their communities. As we go about our careers, some of us are doctors in training. We have pharmacists in practice, pharmacists in training, in church. We have engineers in children in training, engineers in practice. We have the HR. We have we have entrepreneurs. We have business. We have students of university. Are we together? Married or married? Are we together? As we go about our natural lives, you know, flourishing, that's the word, flourishing, growing, increasing, God wants us to minister His plans and purposes.
Ezekiel church, God wants us to do what? To minister His plans and His purposes. And how do I go about that? I receive to be disciple. So in the year 2025, I take discipleship serious. I give attention to what God wants me to give attention to. I'll pay attention to His word, to His spirit, to His ministry, to His plans and His purposes. Not just for me, but for others, as I'm receiving that which is for what? For me. Let's pray now with everyone. And just pray for yourself this morning. That there is attention. Earlier this morning, we prayed for our discipleship works in the cells. That will have an effective ministry. So if you have disciples in church this morning, pray for them. And if you are a disciple in church this morning, pray for yourself. What about those who have been invited? It's your first time in meeting, or you've been invited again, pray for yourself. That you will see what matters to the Lord this year, and that you will focus on it, and that in the year 2025, you will have harvests that God has ordained. I always tell you that one of the most tragic things that will happen to a man is to do very effectively what God never called him to do. Not this year. I will not labor. I will not succeed at the things that God called waste. I will succeed. I will do well in the things that God has ordained for me. Yes. And that is God's word this morning. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray for our disciples this morning. Pray for everyone that is in service with you also. If you have had people in service this morning, pray for them right now. And if you have been invited into meeting this morning, pray for yourself also. My eyes are open to see the blessedness of God's plan in the ministry, giving and receiving discipleship. I am strengthened for it. I'm encouraged for it. I'm full of the Spirit for it. I am focused on it. I'm not distracted. I'm not distracted. I am strengthened for it. By the power of the Holy Ghost. That song, I'm God's man. Let's keep praying. That song, I'm God's man.
God.